opportunity to build a foundation of tithes and offerings and giving, then listen to this. Every time you release something, you are attaching God's supernatural provision to your life. You are putting everything. You know, God only asks you for 10% in a tithe. And then he asks you to give offerings. But listen, once you give God that part of your offerings and your work and your income, listen to me, he supernaturally sanctifies everything about what you do. And he can give you favor. He will minimize things. And I'm telling you, what's most important was that when you live a life of faithfully just pursuing God, then he intervenes upon your behalf even when you don't know it or understand it. You'll come through things and wonder, how did we get to the other side of this battle? Well, it's because God is faithful. Amen? Yes, amen. So, you know, tonight when we give our tithes and offerings, you know, I just want to pray, and you can get your gifts prepared, but I just want to pray the way I believe that the Lord wants me to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for these moments, God. God, we are cheerful givers. And Lord, we look forward to the moment that we get to sow a seed into those things that you have given us, God. Father, the Bible says that when we sow, God, you will make sure that there's meat in the house of God. Lord, that this house is a house of prayer, a place where you are going to answer, where you're going to touch, and where you're going to help your people, God. And Father, I just declare your blessing upon every seed, Father. Every penny, every dime, every dollar, and more, God, that you are going to supernaturally return to your people, God. Pressed down, good measure, running over, God. Father, you will protect them from the devourer. God, you'll cause households to be blessed. Father, you'll cause bills to be paid. Father, you'll cause favor to be given for them. Lord, you'll cause the price of things to be cut on their behalf, Father. Lord, you'll cause incomes to be raised, Father. Lord, raises and blessings will come upon your people. You'll provide for them, God. You'll bless them. And God, it is your covenant, it is your nature, and it's your promise, Father. In fact, you ask people to come, God, to prove you, Lord. In other words, you say, hey, if you trust me in this area, you will see that I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing upon your life. Now, Father, I thank you that you love us, God, and that you want us to give so that you can move on our behalf. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bring your tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Praise God. Cheerful and blessed givers of the kingdom. I want you to know that we have some first-time guests here and some people who you might think are first-timers. So we just want to welcome everybody to be with us today. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I want you to know that every time, whether it's in an organized church service or whether someone comes or someone you know prays for you, offers a word for you, listen, God is constantly reaching out with a desire to touch our lives. Amen? And I want you to know something, that it is without fail that I have discovered, you know, I just came back from being halfway around the world, and I will tell you that I am more convinced than ever that this gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel for every nation. You know, Christ, when he went up, he said that when he came, yes, originally, people thought he was called to be just the Lord of the Jews. But he said, no, I have come to the Gentiles. I have come for the Jews. I've come for everybody that's in need of a physician. And I will tell you that the Lord said that this gospel needs to be preach to every nation. I want you to know that our Lord and Savior is not going to look like any of us thinks he's going to look like. Listen, the Lord did not come out of a white Caucasian background. Nor did he come out of a black background. Amen? He was an Israelite. And whether we like it or not, he has a nice bronze-toned skin color that he had while he was on this earth. But I tell you what, the one thing he proved to us is that when he walked this earth, he did not just stop at the Israelites. He went to the Samaritan. He went to the Gentile. He went to the Ethiopian. He touched the lives of anybody who would reach out, because the Lord needs you to know this, that in the kingdom, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There are the children of God who have been ordained from the foundation of being put in their mother's womb to come out and to receive the will and the purpose of God. You know, I thank God that I've had the privilege and the honor of seeing that God wants to touch the lives of any person of any color, any nationality. He wants to touch the rich, the poor, everybody in between, wherever you are. God wants to pour out into your life, and he wants you to open your heart so that you can discover the will and the purpose that he has for our lives. Amen? I want you to know something, that I have become more and more and more. I've seen it. I'm more convinced than ever that I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God that there is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that these three are one and are in unity, pouring out their spirit into our life. Amen? And I want you to know something, that it's time for us as Christians to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to tell you tonight that the Bible says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. Amen? And I want you to know that Christianity is not something that we try on. Hallelujah. Being a Christian is not something that we do on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning. We don't put on airs and pretend we're something. We don't come to the house of God and just put on airs of trying to act a certain way for the time that we're around our church family. No, no, no. This is who we are. We are people who, once we have been transformed and we receive the saving grace of the Lord, then this just becomes who we are. This is our nature. This is who we are. When we become Christians, we are born again and we are birthed into a family. Amen? I can no longer lay down my Christianity. Listen, as dark as my little skin is that I will wear to the time I go to the grave, my faith and my Christianity and who I am in Christ is much more important than that. Listen, I love being an American citizen, and I like being here, and I like being from America, but I want you to know, me being an American is subservient to the fact that I am a Christian, I'm a child of God, and I need to know who I am in him. I want you to know something, that I believe in obeying the laws of the land, but the laws of America, if we follow God and we follow the pursuit of what's in that Bible, guess what? We will not only meet, but we will exceed the expectation of the laws. And I want us to understand something, that the Lord has begun something in us that he's going to be faithful to finish. I want to read out of the book of Hebrews tonight. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. I want you to know that the Bible says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. I want you to hear something. That first of all, the Bible says that we have to be careful and do not let every weight and every sin hinder us from fulfilling our God destiny. I want you to know something, Christians, that when you are called into salvation, it does mean that there must be a radical review of your life. It has got to become a part of your nature to look at your life and see the areas that line up with God and the areas that don't. And it has to come to us to say, listen, if I'm doing or involved in something that is not in this Bible, I have to make a course correction in that area. And we have to be willing to know that we cannot let fear, worry, stresses cause us to back up from doing things the way God would want us to do them. Because the Bible says that if we allow ourselves to be weighted down with worry and stress and or sin, listen, it will limit what we're able to even believe God for. Have you ever tried to pray to the Father and ask him to help you something when you know you got a whole lot of sin going on in your life? When we've acted out and done wrong and then we set ourselves to pray, the first thing that will happen is conviction will come. And then what's even worse than that is the condemnation that the devil can now use to make you feel unworthy, to make you feel unfit, and to try to lie and deceive you into believing that God does not love you. Listen to me. I am not an advocate for sin because the Bible says, my little children, sin not. So our first responsibility as saved, Holy Ghost-filled Christians is that sin should not be an ordinary nature that comes along with us. Listen, I don't mind if you cuss like a sailor if you don't know God. I will tell you what, I have guys that I work with and they'll get to cussing and they'll say, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. And I'll say, no, it's okay, it doesn't bother me. And it really doesn't because they're sinners. But let me tell you something, if I see you get upset and I see a bunch of foul profanity coming out of your mouth, listen, I'm going to have a huge problem with you because that ain't your nature. Amen. That is not who you are. And you have been empowered by God to have the Holy Ghost keep you from expressing an anger that gets you so out of control that you put yourself into the place where even the devil can start controlling your mouth, your tongue, your actions. Listen, that is not acceptable of a Christian. Now, if some cussing, fussy, drinking guy cusses this way and that, Nate, it doesn't bother me. Not because I approve of that, because I understand that where they're at in life, that is just who they are and what they're subject to. Because the Bible says that whoever we lend our members to, that's who we're the servant of. So listen, if we are cussing, angry, hate-filled, able to beat people and fight people and cuss people and talk bad about people, listen, we are allowing Satan to use our mouth and our body and our very vessel for works of darkness. And we are actually serving Satan and serving the devil, and we are leaving our life open for him to oppress us, steal from us, keep us in poverty, keep us in fear, and drain us from even having a reflection of God in our life. Listen, I want you to know something, that this Bible is not written in the chastening of the Lord, does not come in the correction of the Lord, does not come because he wants to punish us or because he doesn't love us. His correction comes because there is a way that seemeth right to man that will lead you to destruction, but there is a way that is right to the Lord that will lead you to blessing, peace, and fruitfulness all the days of your life. And I want us to understand that the Bible says here, please listen, it's time for us to take control of ourselves. And it's time for us to not only look at what's written in this Bible, but each of us by now have had people that we have known that have served God and has seen them receive the blessing. Others and even ourselves, we have been touched enough by the goodness of God. We have a great cloud of witnesses that have used this word and lived by this word to the point where it should be now that we lay aside every weight and we lay aside sinful behaviors. And we cut that stuff off because we know that there's a better way in God. Amen? The way of the Lord is better. The way of the Lord will bring blessing. And it says here that as we do this, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the very fact that the Bible uses the word run, it speaks to us about exertion, right? It speaks to us about an extra effort. It speaks to us about a sense of urgency. It takes more to run than to walk, amen? And it says that we need to run this race with patience. And what that means is that as Christians, we are going to have to work in this life. Listen. There are times where we're going to have to press in. And I like to say that that should just be our nature. We are soldiers after all. We are soldiers. And if you know anything about soldiers in the military, listen, they train even when they ain't at war. They train even when they're not at war. Listen, a soldier will tell you that he practices using his weapon. He gets himself in shape. He does all the exercises and the things that they do. They check equipment. They learn how to do the things in an airplane. They learn how to do the things in a ship. And they are constantly ready because they want to be on ready alert when that day comes that they're needed. Amen? I want you to know, years ago, even when this country was started, there were those people that were called Minutemen. And I want you to know that the Minutemen were men that were farmers and worked and did all kinds of things, but they were ready at a moment's notice to take up arms and get about protecting the communities and the places where they lived. Amen? It is time for us Christians to run this race with patience. That means that, first of all, we settle into our faith, prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God, and allowing ourselves to grow from glory to glory. It should just be the normal practice of our Christian faith. We should be like the military. Take your vacation for that once or twice a year that you get to take vacation. But in all other times, be stirred up, be ready. And even on vacation, guess what? You should be ready. I want you to know that when I go on vacation, yes, I am relaxing and all that stuff. But I will tell you what? I still take time to study, pray, and hear what God may have me do. The last time we were on vacation, listen, I still prayed for people and saw God do miracles. And I want you to know something. That it's time for us to take on the nature and the understanding that I am a Christian. It is just the instinct of mine to be a person of prayer. It's normal for me to be a person that reads the Word of God. Oh, and guess what? I'm not just a hearer of the Word. I'm a doer of the Word. When I read that Word and I find areas of my life that are not being done the way the Lord tells me to do them, guess what? I fix it. I change it. I want you to know that I don't live a certain way that I can be culturally acceptable. Listen, I'm not looking to get approval by everybody that thinks that I need to be this cool or that cool or act this way or that way. I tell you what I believe is cool, having the flow of the Holy Ghost in my life, having the power of God in my life, having authority over devils and being able to pray and see people set free. Listen, I like having that authority in my voice more than any other authority that I could have a right to walk in. Amen? Listen, I tell you what, you might be embarrassed if you're ever out with me, because you never know. I might want to pray in the Holy Ghost in public. I might want to pray for somebody in public. Amen? I'll tell you what, I was on the airplane and someone wanted me to pray. Can you pray for me? I said, yeah, I'm going to do it right now. And I just was on the airplane praying for somebody. I didn't wait and write their name in my little book. Now, I will pray for them later, but at that moment, listen, I said, now is the time for prayer. Now is the day of salvation. It is time for us as Christians to not feel weird about who we are and what our nature is. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. If you can find me one time where people came to the Lord on the street, at the market, at the well, in the house, and in the synagogue, and if you can show me one time that Jesus said, hey, I'll write that down and pray for you later. We're in public right now, but I promise I'll pray for you later. If you can find that in Scripture for me, I'll shout the victory. But here's what I found about Jesus. When he walked in the house and Peter's mother-in-law was sick with the fever, he laid hands immediately. Here's what I found about Jesus. He had walked several miles and came into a place where he was thirsty, but when he got to the well, even before he took a drink, he began to talk to that woman, and until she got saved and he had her spirit rest, guess what? He put his own needs beside. I tell you what, he walked up, and I tell you, there's just never a time where Jesus said, no, you know, we better not pray. Even when it disrupted the Jews and they said, you don't have to do any of that work on the Sabbath day. They can come 6 days a week during the week and be healed. In other words, they were so familiar with the move of God that they wanted to control God. They didn't say we don't believe in healing. They were so arrogant about it and had got so comfortable with it that they said, just have her come during the week and get that done. The Lord said, what's wrong with you? The time is now. My goodness, he was so crude, he interrupted funerals. Walked into places where people were weeping and people were already dead and they were already sorrowing, saying, Lord, if you could have been here 4 days ago, Lazarus would be all right. He said, well, I can't talk to you about 4 days ago, but what I can tell you is I'm here now. And I touch that which is dead, and I bring life to it. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that he never put a time restraint or a place or some restriction on your need. The Lord is there when you need him. Amen? And the Bible says that you can seek him early, you can seek him at noontime, or you can seek him in the midnight hour when you have a need. Understand this, there's never an inappropriate time to go towards your God, because he says that you as my child have a right to come boldly before that throne of grace and you will receive mercy in your time of need. Amen? That is who he is. That is who our God is. And he is not going to change just because we get more religious. He's not going to change just because the world is progressing along the paths of where they want to say what they like and what they don't like. Listen, if you don't like the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. The Lord likes the Holy Ghost. So when I pray in tongues, just bear with me. Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that God is a real God. And it's time for us to embrace how he does things. Listen, he created humanity, not us. It says that the wisdom of God may look like foolishness to man, but I'll tell you who's foolish in the end. Those who don't honor God. Hallelujah. The Bible says here that we need to run this race. We need to be alert. We need to be not giving just a little. We need to be giving our best effort. It needs to be our priority. It needs to be a focus. Listen, we're not going to be able to run a race if we don't condition ourselves, if we don't work, and if we don't pursue after it. Amen? We have to run this race. We have to dig in deep, and we have to believe God. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father of our God. First of all, I want you to know something. That Jesus did not get to go to the cross in a way that would make him seem dignified. Whether we liked it or not, he went with a crown of thorns pressed down on his head. He went bleeding. He went beaten with stripes against his back. And I hate to tell you this. I wish he was clothed and looking dignified as our king. But you know, they ripped his robe off of him. But he went through the shame. He went through anything that could be embarrassing for him. And he went through it willingly because he was willing to do what was needed to give us an opportunity to be the children of God. But you know, I really want to just sit here for a minute because it says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I really want to bring some aspects to you that we may not have deeply looked at before, but first of all, I want you to know something, that the first way he authored and finished your faith is that he walked as a man on this earth. He gave up the glory of his identity, he gave up the riches of heaven, and he took on human flesh and humanity. And it says that he walked on this earth without sin. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to prove to us that even though things had fallen down in the garden, that we still have a right through his blood to become those powerful new creatures in Christ that are redeemed from the curse of the law, and we have power to use the same faith that Jesus used. Listen, it would be different if Jesus never had to read the word and never had to pray and never had to do anything he's asking us to do. But the Bible is clear that even when he was young at 12 years old, he had to commit himself to reading that word, to praying and to fasting and to pursuing God just like we have to pursue God. Jesus, even though he did not agree with everything that went upon the church, it says that he went to the synagogue as his custom was. And I want you to know something, that Jesus walked out his own salvation with fear and trembling and in pursuit of God as an example for us that we might be able to do it. So the first example we have is that Jesus authored and finished his faith on this earth. And that brings us to this point where we can see this scripture, that if he is the author of your faith, he will add to you whatever is needed that you can finish your faith. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. That means that when he comes upon and attaches himself to your life, you have an absolute guarantee that from the start of your salvation to the time that you either finish your course and we go up through the death that we know is coming our way, or if we are in the middle of our walk and we get raptured up through Christ, he has released enough of his power, his anointing, his authority, his spirit, and his grace to finish our faith. He has given enough power that we can all have the testimony that Paul said, I have finished my course, and now is laid up for me a crown of glory, and I'm going to walk into his presence, and he's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every one of us, I want you to know that from the minute the Lord authored your faith, Pastor, how do I know he offered my faith?
Did you get saved?
Woo!
Did you say, Lord, come into my heart? I want to live for you. Listen, the minute you and the Lord came into agreement of your salvation and you broke the power of death, hell, and the grave, and you told Satan to take his hand off of you, that you no longer live for him, you now live for the Lord. The minute you stepped into this, God gave you an absolute guarantee that you have enough power, faith, and grace upon your life to finish your course and to finish your course well. It now becomes your choice. I set before you life and death. You choose. Now I'm telling you right now, you have got to break the power of a poverty mentality off of your life. You've got to break the power of fear off of your life. You've got to break the power of everything that you've been through that tries to identify you as being less than what God said you can be. Because it's a lie from the pit of hell. And shame on us as Christians if we get to the end of our lives and we've not recovered ourselves by the Lord's help from the things that we once used to be bound by. I don't care if you were addicted, just don't stay addicted. I'm sorry you were abused, just don't live up under abuse now that you've been liberated. I'm sorry that you went through rejections, disappointments. I hate the fact that you were divorced. I hate the fact that some of us did not have great parents and bad relationships. I hate the fact that some of our parents died earlier than we wanted them to. I hate the fact that we've been through a bunch of brokenness. I hate the fact that we've had people that haven't loved us. But I also want you to tell you something. I hate the fact that now we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that we would allow any of those things to keep us from the will of God and from the destiny of Jesus that's out in front of us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He did not start something to leave you where you're at. He says, I didn't come for those who think they can do it on their own. I came for those who were in need of a physician. And I want you to know that every one of us are in need of a physician. And every one of us are in need of help from the Lord. And that is not a bad place to be. It is a great thing to recognize that we cannot handle our life on our own. It is a great thing to come to the place where we humble ourselves enough to say, Lord, I need your help. Oh, because the minute that happens, he can say, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. The minute we do that, the Lord can say, hey, welcome to being a victorious, more than conquering champion. Woo! Welcome to being the strongest person you will ever be. Welcome to being supernatural, because now that you have conceded yourself to me being the Lord and Savior of your life, then now from this day forward, you will be able to do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. You'll be able to do all things because I will come upon you and never leave you to yourself. You can cast your care upon me because I care for you. And you never have to be subject to just the natural side of life. At the end of yourself, I will add to you and bring you to a greater place. Amen? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we stand right now in your presence, God, Father, there may be someone here tonight that, God, maybe they have loved you. Maybe in the past they've served you. God, or maybe they've never made a decision to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I'd be remiss tonight, God, if I did not give people an opportunity to be saved and to have you become Lord and Savior. Lord, tonight, if people are dealing with fear, discouragement, brokenness, God, Father, if they've not been walking in a relationship with you, and Lord, if tonight, if they even have a thought that if they died, they would not go to heaven, Lord, you're here to remedy that. Father, all they need to do is receive you as Lord and Savior. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you are not saved and you say, Pastor Philip, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've not really given my heart to him. But you want to get saved tonight and you want to make a commitment to the Lord. Right now, just quickly raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if I don't see a hand go up, then I believe that what you're telling me is that you are saved and you are walking in that relationship with the Lord. That the Lord is the author of your faith. And that you can have an absolute confidence that he's the finisher of your faith. Amen? He will give you a life of victory, outcome, and that the Lord is going to move you from where you are right into who he wants you to be. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your blessing upon your people tonight, Father. Lord, I declare them saved. I declare them healed, Father. Lord, right now, loose the working of miracles and healing and whatever's needed into their life, God. God, right now, I declare your glory. Father, right now, I declare your blessing upon your people, God. Father, you love them. And Lord, you will and are working on their behalf. Lord, I thank you for it, and I declare your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.